Right, my next guest is on the line. I so wish we didn't have to have this conversation, but unfortunately we do. She's Ariella Novick. We've spoken to her on numerous occasions here on Chai FM. She is a journalist. She is a contributor and a writer specializing in anti-Semitism and Middle Eastern affairs. And there is nothing short of a horrendous survey that has just come out of the United States of America. It's called the Blue Label Survey. 29% of young Americans view Jews as a threat to society. I'm going to repeat that. 29% of young Americans view Jews as a threat to society. We're going to take a deep dive into that issue right now. Ariella, thanks a ton for being with me here on Chai FM again.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
Are you shocked by that stat that I just read out?
You know, to me, a number is a number. It's the tale within the action that really will speak to me. We've been hearing for so many years now, you know, let's combat anti-Semitism. It just keeps getting higher and higher. And just when we think, okay, we've reached our peak, another, you know, event or something really disgusting has been thrown at a door of a synagogue. So nothing surprises me. The number doesn't surprise me. It's the actions and our follow through now that will really take the action that we really need to make change.
I'm not sure I'm understanding.
But the number is horrible.
The number's horrible. We both can agree on that. I'm still kind of trying to come to terms with the fact as to why it isn't a surprise to you or concerning to you. I mean, it's been a massive change in such a short amount of time. How do you account for this?
Honestly, I think that it's a combination of misinformation, political polarization, and social media culture that really rewards outrage over accuracy. And many young people I'm finding are encountering Israel through short, emotionally charged content that's stripped of history and context. And then anti-Semitism becomes repackaged as activism, allowing an ancient hatred to appear modern, progressive, socially acceptable, and also allowing people to feel that wonderful word of popular, right? You want to be part of something that is fast-paced, everyone's doing it, and that seems to be anti-Semitism these days.
Yeah, anti-Semitism has become the new anti-apartheid and Mandela struggle. I mean, that seems to have replaced what we experienced growing up in the 80s. It's kind of your calling card, your entrance card into acceptability. You have to be anti-Israel to be accepted. Park your Zionism and your Judaism at the door, and then you can have a ticket. But with it, you can't.
Well, it's not that the number didn't surprise me. I work within the field of anti-Semitism. Every day I'm hearing of another event, and each one takes my heart. So it's not that it doesn't surprise me. It just surprises me how accepted it is.
Fair enough.
And it's not that, yeah. And it, by the way, it's not that everyone's accepting this number. We have so many friends out there that say, shame, this is very upsetting. We're just people, right? We're neighbors, we're colleagues. But then they go home and they have these other thoughts where they're going through their social media, they're scrolling through and they're seeing these horrible images. If I can bring up, I don't want to talk about him, but Mayor Mamdani in New York City, bringing out that elaborate speech that which he said yesterday over social media regarding, you know, realizing only now that he cannot arrest the Prime Minister of Israel, yeah. Netanyahu. And by the way, this was all a part of it. I don't believe he just figured that out from his sources yesterday. He knew full well from when he started this in December, 3 years ago, I think, talking about this on a podcast with another individual saying that, oh, I'm going to arrest him if he comes. He knew full well that he couldn't. So it wasn't a surprise. This is all part of his political act. But again, making a movement popular, making people feel they're part of something. And that is what he's a part of.
Yeah, just when you think you've read the worst of what it can deliver, it goes and surprises you some more. We follow American politics here. We read about the guy who was disqualified not too long ago, the one with a Nazi tattoo on his chest. I don't even remember his name. But, I mean, the fact that that wasn't an issue, that it was sexual assault that got him disqualified, not having a Nazi tattoo on his chest, that wasn't an issue. And the other lady whose name is really, really, really difficult, who's just won the Democratic primaries now, I know she's of Dominican origin, she's converted to Islam. I mean, we're dealing with rabid anti-Semitism at this point in time. It's not even hidden. It seems to be acceptable in America these days. More than that, it seems to be a requirement.
And then J Street wanting to have this event with another individual that's running in Michigan. I mean, it's just the thought of it being accepted and, okay, let's promote, you know, 9/11 should happen. I'm glad it happened. This is what people are running on. And the stunt that which the congressman did, going to the, as they call it, the West Bank, Judea and Samaria, and not alerting the
O'Rourke,
embassy.
yes,
What'd you say?
O'Rourke, the arrest last
Correct.
week, yes.
Yeah. This was all another part of the stunt of being popular, right? Before that, I would guarantee you most, again, I don't know, but I would guarantee you most Americans, most of the world had no idea who this guy was. This was all on purposely done to promote what himself, forget his values. If you ask probably one person, what is he running on? You might say Duncan, because you don't know what he's running for in his campaign. He's using Israel, the state of Israel, which many are, as a way to pull people to say, we hate those Jews. Look at the state of Israel. They're killers. Let's be part of a popular movement. And the amount of thinking, wow, we're just people. And instead of thinking about we're people, we're thinking about concepts of we're Jews and we should hate them. And that shocks me.
And once you've made that jump in your mind as to they're Jews, so it's okay to hate them, does that then permit you to think, oh, well, Holocaust denial isn't even anti-Semitic anymore? I mean, how on earth can we explain that? That according to the survey, the rise in the number of people questioning whether Holocaust denial is even anti-Semitic is off the charts. Is it those same factors that you were talking about just a short while ago?
You know, I've actually encountered a few folks that didn't believe the Holocaust happened. And when I say those words, it's not that they distrusted it. That's not it. They grew up believing it didn't really happen. And it was put out there to politicize and help the Jews. And I've heard this more than once. And instead of me saying, you've got to be kidding, my reaction is always, well, let me show you. And once I showed them this quick video, they sat down. These were just several people in a room. And they said, wow, it really is real. So now I'm not accounting for the others who are just wanting to be part of this fast-paced movement, but the amount of Holocaust denial is also being used to target younger folks or just individuals that want to be a part of a movement that say, we hate the Jews, they're liars, the Holocaust didn't happen. And if it did happen, it's because they weren't kind people, they were bad. And I also met another gentleman that his dad always told him about the Jews in Iowa. They had these shops there. And the shops were not, were always stealing their money. So he grew up learning Jews were bad people until he realized that wasn't the story that transpired. He grew up with all this Jew hatred, which came out later on. And we ended up sitting in a room together. And I got to hear this fascinating story about how he turned his life around and how the Jewish people actually helped him. And now he's in business with somebody. So it's all, you might even not know from the time you were born. Just like what's happening within Gaza and education there, that you are brainwashed to think one way, and that is the way of Jewish hate.
The survey shows that the haters, i.e., those people who are openly prejudiced, they've doubled since 2023, while the number of allies has apparently dropped really sharply. What does that tell you about the trajectory for American Jews?
I also don't know who was conducted in the survey,
Fair enough.
etc. So I don't know the demographic that were polled. Sometimes in these pollings, you know, you're looking for certain ideals. But I do know we do have friends out there within the Christian world. I've met so many. In fact, I just got back from a, I know this is not the kind of question you're asking, but I just got back. I brought a group of journalists to Israel. One of them was Christian. And she says, you know, it's just so hard to fight the truth. If I didn't come now to Israel, I don't know if I could have continued. And for me, I didn't know she would say that. She didn't know she would say that. But the idea is we do have friends out there, but it is so hard to help people see the truth because it's so clogged on social media with lies. And that's the part that feeds into this survey right here. It's how do you differentiate the truth from the actual real narrative that is what the story is? And with AI these days, it's tremendously difficult.
So I don't know if it's at least possible to try and leave this in a more positive way, but I'm just wondering if somebody's listening to all this and feeling absolutely overwhelmed by what it is we're discussing, what practical thing can somebody do to push back against this tide?
That's a really wonderful question. First, we have to listen. Listen to those around us, what they have to say. Don't right away, you know, say that's nonsense. In fact, this other person said to me, I heard, you know, if you're going to Israel as a Christian, you get spat on. And instead of me saying, no, that's not possible, I said, you know what, let me look into this for you.
Oh my
And I got
goodness.
back with a response with, yes, it's targeted in an area and it did happen, but it was dealt with and it's not to. And then we even spoke with the head of the Christian, the new George Dekus, his name. within Israel. He is the first of its kind within this role to the Christians and Arabs in Israel. Anyway, the point is to listen, lend that ear, because sometimes people are willing to listen. And just because they don't agree with you, that's okay, because you know what? They've heard you. And it might not be in that moment that which they say, you're right. In a few weeks, they might call you and say, you're right, or you may never know. But always lend that ear and take a moment to say, hey, I also have seen this. You may want to consider it. And I really do feel this way. It's not that I don't feel it is gloomy out there. From all the tornadoes we've had in New Jersey yesterday to the world, it is gloomy. But there is one thing we can control, and that's our narrative and how we prepare to tackle what is out there. So lend an ear, take a moment to listen, then respond if you know the answer. And I promise you, you'll feel better as a person.
Aria, that's a great place to leave it. Thank you so much for being with me on Chai FM. That was Aria Novick, a journalist, news contributor, and writer specializing in anti-Semitism. Really appreciate your input. Thank you.